May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. Hymn 1103.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, we will close our reading with verse 42. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship thee, Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pots, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Let us pray. Most merciful and most holy God, we do bow down now before thy great and blessed majesty. We come in all our vast need. We have to come as we are, and we are coming to a King. Therefore, as the poet says, and help us to do so, Lord, large petitions with thee bring. And how true it is, Lord, as he puts it, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Oh, what a truth that is. Help us poor sinners here tonight, Lord, to pour out our hearts unto thee. And not only while we are here tonight, but while we are alone, about the earthly life, in this lower world, oh, help us each to open our mouth wide and to really pour out our hearts and to say like Jacob of old, that may be long exercised over months and years, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Oh, help to remember who we are addressing. One so high, so lifted up, we read this morning. It's the seven golden candlesticks. O Lord, indeed, is not thy garment white and glistering? O Lord, does not thy face shine? Yea, is not the truth of thee that light which is brighter than the midday sun? And the angels veil their faces. Oh, we pray that when we are ushered into thy presence at last, oh, we may be able to bear the sight of thee. John couldn't. He fell at thy feet as dead. Isaiah, when he saw thee in the temple, oh, how he said, woe is me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips, and dwell amidst the people of unclean lips, to realise how holy thou art. And yet, oh, thou touch our lips. Oh, speak that fear not as we fall at thy feet as dead. Oh, do touch us with thy blessed, divine, healing, efficacious finger, that our souls might really be helped to trust in thee forever. The real sinner's living friend in the court of heaven. One who is infinitely good, more blessedly good than we can even begin to comprehend. One who can do abundantly more than we can even ask or think, as the Apostle says. Help us to believe from our very heart. Help us so to reverently draw near and to wrestle on till the break of day. Oh, to tell thee our whole case. We're wicked. We feel desperately troubled about ourselves at times. We do while we live here. We see what we are, where our heart is naturally set. Oh, and in our flesh dwells no good thing. And we come in all our rags and ruin. But may we be helped to plead thee, thy infinite merit, oh, thy resurrection power, thy everlasting love, thy infinite merit, Lord, yes, that cleanses from all sin, and that merit that speaks for the vilest and the lowest of sinners in the court of heaven. Oh, may we look unto thee as our resurrection and our life, and may we see and know thee to be that performing God. Oh, go before us. We need thee every step of the journey. Lord, order our way safely. Oh, be with us in our homes. Take care of us there. Watch over us day and night and our loved ones. And order our way safely as we journey about in this world. Help us each in the daily business of life. Lord, we pray to give us wisdom in the earthly scene and make a right way for us and prosper the work of our hands naturally. But may we have that sanctified prosperity. Oh, make a right way for us, and where we meet with so many difficulties in every aspect of our life, may we be helped to wait patiently, to look unto thee, and to spread our matters before thee, and oh, to call upon thee while we live. And may we be helped, Lord, still to persist at the throne of grace in our troubles. Some troubles are so devastating, so overwhelming. Lord, oh, we do plead thy infinite power and tender love and mercy for poor and needy sinners. We own our sins, our folly. We consider this afternoon, oh, help us to truly confess the beam in our own eye. Oh, that our time might be in confessing our beam and seeking, oh, everlasting love and divine help and thy grace to superabound over us, that we may not be found taking the mote out of a brother's eye. Hear prayer. Oh, we need thee in our lives. We're afraid to die. We can't die outside of thee. We know that we shall sink to rise no more. Therefore we pray thou prepare us for our dying day. Oh, with many fears, Lord, subdue our sins. Oh, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. Only thy love can constrain us in this. Want to see and know thy mighty hand. Lord, thou knowest our length of days. Oh, we're so unfruitful. We look back with shame over our profession. We look back with awe. Oh, real thanksgiving. Oh, give us hearts of real gratitude. May we stand in awe and marvel at thy long suffering, tender mercies to us in spite of all our sins and all our failings, Lord. Oh, how good, how gracious thou hast been. And we indeed would stand in awe of thee, and we would be encouraged. Oh, and own to thy own glory. Thou hast been our helper, as the psalmist says, the Lord is my helper, saith my soul. But Lord, oh, we come so short. Oh, we so often, if we may so confess it, we may use an English expression, we've often bit the hand that feeds us. If one may be allowed to go further, Lord, we hope the friends will understand what one means. For I have to confess it so much before thee. My base ingratitude is akin to or like unto spitting in thy lovely face. Some may not understand it, but one has to confess it. Oh, we wouldn't do that willfully, no. But Lord, it's by negligence and heart wanderings and oh, coldness and deadness and prayerlessness and entertainment of sin in our heart, Lord. Oh, what beasts we are. Oh, we plead thy great pardon. When they nail thee to the cross, they did say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We believe on that blessed day of Pentecost, so many of those Jerusalem sinners, they were charged with thy death, cried out, oh, it gives us hope. And we plead the same. Remember us in our lowest state, for thy mercy endureth forever. Pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. Oh, bless us in this evening hour of worship. Oh, that some hearts might be touched. There may be real worship. Oh, from our hearts there may be that flowing of real reverential awe and gratitude and love to thy blessed person. Oh, how the psalmist says, I will love the Lord because it heard my prayer and inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as I live. Oh, we might know the beginnings of that love in our heart. We might know the beginnings of that love in return, even while we live here. Though we own with the poet, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love's so cold and faint. Yet we would love thee and adore, and one has said, love thee 10 times more. Ah, that's the desire of a living soul. Ah, but we're limited. But we come to an unlimited Saviour. Oh, one who can do everything. Hear our cases then tonight. May we each as individuals tell thee all our secrets. We can't do it in 5 minutes. It's over a pilgrimage. We have to keep, oh, pouring out our fresh troubles and all these rising sins and so much anxiety and fears about the future, so many temptations. We fear sometimes we won't endure. We fear we shall be found counterfeit at last and swept away. Oh, we feel we will fail in the hour of trial. Lord, we need thee to be with us. We need thee to carry us safely through. Yet we bless thee at this moment of time. Oh, thou hast brought us remarkably through. There hadn't been our helper, had not been mindful of us and strengthened us, we would have sunk to rise no more. We have proved all thy love over the years, so great, so wonderful. In spite of all our many provokings, oh, thou who changest not, abide with us. May be a sweet truth to us tonight, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Oh, what a blessed God thou art. So help us here tonight. Bless thy word. Bless poor, needy sinners. Work a mighty work of grace among this people, we pray. Who keep them from the fashion of the world, the spirit of the age. Keep them, Lord, from that ecumenical spirit among Christianity. May they know that thou art their God and they are thy people. And may they come out from among them, be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Be kept pure to the truth in the fear of God. Add unto them such as shall be saved. Bless office bearers. Give them much wisdom and grace and godly fear. And to be examples to the flock to walk in love and in true godly fear. Bless them indeed. And oh, could there be those gracious citizens of the church. Oh, could there be those sweetly constrained to put on Christ and to declare what thou hast done for their souls and to do these things in remembrance of thee? Could there be those gathered in from this village and district such as shall be saved? Bless the various friends in different ages, those older in years, those afflicted, those detained at home through age or weakness. Remember them at the throne of grace, all that are in sickness. Remember, Lord, the friends in middle days with many cares and concerns. Our young friends, bless them. Make them wise. Oh, the natural strength of the young men and the young women. Lord, do sanctify them, that they may perceive their need of thy mercy and of thy strength to be ministered and thy grace to be given. Hear prayer for little ones in school days. Oh, touch their hearts. Little ones in arms. Those with child in mercy bring safely through. Oh, hear prayer for Zion. What we pray for our friends, so we pray for the dear friends at home. Grant us thy spirit there. Bless each precious soul, young and old. Help thy dear servant engage there this day. Remember all thy servants, neighbouring churches, thy one church in England among all nations. Lord, there's a denomination we want to belong to. And that is that denomination that thou hast named in thy word as Worm Jacob. Oh, that we may be among them. Oh, that we may be among those sons of Jacob. Oh, that we may be among them who are sanctified. Those who are drawn by our most holy Father unto thy blessed person, Lord Jesus. They're the people we want to be among. For that's that dear Zion. Oh, the Lamb's wife. numbered with them may I be, now throughout that blessed, never-ending, glorious eternity. Lord, hear prayer. Pray for thy servants, one engaged on later this week, and on Lord's Day evening. Bless him, be with him in his evening time of life. We notice how he's aging. We love him for the truth's sake. We're all aging, all journeying on. They'll all be saying of us, one day, he's gone, she's gone. Oh, and when they say it, oh, could it be true of me in endless bliss to dwell? It's all grace. Oh, we often feel so unfit, so unworthy, but may we plead the Lord our righteousness. Oh, may we know something of the beauty and fearless efficacy of that glorious dress thou hast wrought for poor men. Lord, remember each of thy servants, one engaged here in the next Lord's Day now in serious illness and so wearied and brought down by the treatment, Lord. Do grant sparing mercies. And may the treatment, though drastic, yet indeed be beneficial to him, to spare him yet, to enable him to preach once again the precious gospel. And another aged servant David had, oh, laid aside. Lord, remember him and bless him. And our younger friend after his stroke, Lord, oh, grant healing mercies to him. And enable him once again, Lord, in due time, to begin to preach the gospel again and help them at Carshorten in this. Oh, what a blow in their exercise in their hopes. Yet may they prove it was the good hand of God. They might see thy power and thy probation and thy blessing upon them. Oh, help them in that trial and raise up our dear friend once again and all thy dear people in all places of the earth. Oh, pardon our sins now. Oh, help a poor man to preach. And before we close, we must give thee thanks for the harvest and all thy tender mercies in providence. Oh, how good and gracious thou hast been. And now, Lord, for those here that their soul is like the dry and thirsty land. Oh, they cry out for the living God. They need watering. And who can water them? Oh, to send the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, there might be that clean provender tonight. Winnow with the shovel and the fan. But oh, do pour it out. The minister can't. He's so limited. Oh, but do grant, Lord, those living waters, that door of utterance. Oh, that divine due and unction which comes especially from thee. Lord, dwell among us. Pardon us and receive us graciously. So hear our cries and do us each good. When our friends among us are due shortly to leave this area and to take up his further industry in Scotland. Oh, bless him while he's in the British Isles. Look after him and prosper in his way. And above all, bless him in his soul. Remember his dear aging parents in Canada and bless them indeed, and especially his dear father in his affliction. Oh, grant that those sparing, strengthening, healing mercies to him. So, Lord, remember us all. We need in our lives. We need it to be with us. Pardon our mighty sins. Ah, we'd come with that frame of mind tonight. Sir, we would see Jesus. We plead thy prevailing name, thy precious sin atoning blood, the everlasting covenant. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
In 279, how shall I pour out my complaint, or tell the Lord my sore distress? Yet he espies my every want, my weakness, sin, and foolishness. Hymn 279.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and to verse 29. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and to verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I realize, of course, that our circumstances are totally different to this woman, and that none of us, thankfully, have been left to have five different husbands or wives and be left to go and live with somebody else. But as I made remarks this afternoon, we have a beam in our own eye, and sin lieth at the door. If not outward, left to outward sin, it's all in our desperately wicked hearts. And though our circumstances are different, the teaching is the same. And the salvation is an everlasting, great salvation shown to every sanctified son and daughter in this world. We read, they shall all be taught of the Lord, from the least of them unto the greatest. And our salvation is only known by his teaching. And how we read again the prophet in Isaiah, and all thy children, that Zion's children, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And we would stand in awe and marvel at the power of God and the wisdom of God. The apostle wrote unto the Corinthians concerning Christ, he said, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And we can see this in all the accounts of the godly in the scriptures. We can see a certain power, divine power, and oh, divine wisdom, in all the conversions of sinners, and in all their experiences, and all their utterances in the word of the Lord, as he dealt severally with his dear people. And there are no two cases alike. How unique was this woman's case? How quick was her conversion, and how in a moment of time her whole life came up before her, and she was before the Lamb of God. And how happy was the outcome. She goes and tells the men of the city and makes this statement by precious faith. Come, see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we see after 2 days that many more of the Samaritans believed on him. And we can safely say, with regard to the context, it was a true faith. We know in the Old Testament, here in John, of course, we read that they believed on him. They did not confess him for fear of the Jews. Therefore, you see, it would not appear to be a Holy Ghost believing. And many seem to believe on him in John chapter 6, and then, oh, they turn back and walk no more with him. Well, it is true we don't know the account of the lives of all those Samaritans, but we may read the context, look at the context, we read the plain language. There were many souls converted unto Christ with an everlasting salvation. We know nothing more about this woman. What happened to her, we do not know in her life. How long she lived. But this, we know she was saved by grace. This afternoon I read as a part of the lesson, just that part of John, beginning, I think it's of chapter 8, where we read of the woman taken in adultery. And without any sacrifice for her sins, and without any religious exercise, she received forgiveness of sins. The divine word said, a sin-hating God, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Of course, there's a divine instruction there. Now walk in my light and in my truth. A free pardon. Now we realize these were unique cases, but the teaching is the same. And you who have been led to Christ, oh, your bright and morning star, can you not say how wonderful when you received a free pardon? When in a moment the Lord arose with healing in his wings and washed away all your filth. And oh, you were justified, knew your justification, felt the comfort and peace of it, as he shone into your soul as that blessed one. Yes, but of course, as a pilgrim here, you're keeping company with these strangers and pilgrims now, ups and downs and fiery trials and besetting sins and so many obstacles and so many worries, so many providential trials, afflictions of body, afflictions in mind, afflictions in circumstances, a roaring enemy, an unbelieving heart. Oh, what a struggle it is. But what a mercy to be able to say with Job in his desperation, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. We can see how effectual grace is. I do realise, of course, our circumstances are totally different. But may we glean some real spiritual profit, and may the Lord bless his word. May unlimited, and I say this most reverently, unlimited Jehovah, in the glorious person of his dear, eternal, beloved Son, so cause from himself the heavens to drop down fatness and the skies to pour down righteousness. You may find your case in the word of God, and you might indeed know what it is for your bosom to glow and to burn like those on the Emmaus road. Did not our heart burn within us while he communed with us by the way? And do you not know, some of you, dear friends, what it is for your heart to burn within you, in your fiery trials, in your distresses, in your troubles, because he's communed with you by the way? You wanted to sink down at his hands and you felt something, those everlasting arms. You're able to look alone to him and leave you all with him and cast the care of your soul, the care of your body, the care of your loved ones, your very life into his wise and gracious hands, believing to be the blessed one sent from heaven. And you knew in your heart, by his communion to your soul, that he alone would satisfy you and would alone be with you and bring you safely through whatever the issue. You know, we learn that in our troubles, don't we? Well, of course, the woman, she seemed so ignorant of really of who Christ was. You know, when the Lord first blessed me, pardon the personal note, I lived for years under a ministry more like a Puritan ministry. And I was affected from time to time, solemnly for a period, solemnly made aware of my utter ruin. I walked about lost. But I came to a legal exercise. And I look back now, remember some of those sentences that were spoken. And I saw no beauty in them. But they were spoken and lodged in my mind. Now I see the beauty of them. But when I was first blessed, you know, I saw the favour I'd been under are ignorant of Christ. Some of you may be good, strict Baptists, but I say this very tenderly and kindly, of course, you may be ignorant of Christ. But if you need Christ, and your soul is toward his name, if there's that exercise I try to trace out this morning of the eye of faith in looking to him, ah, my dear friends, here is the work of God. But this woman was ignorant of Christ, wasn't she? She wasn't ignorant there was a Messiah coming. She was a Samaritan, as you'd realise, of course. They were immigrants, really, though they'd been there, of course, for some centuries, planted there by the Assyrian Empire and Babylon later, you see, and they colonised the land. And, of course, they adopted the religion of the Jews. They sort of took hold of the inheritance, and they mingled their type of religion with the Jewish religion, you see. And they knew this was Jacob's well, what their father had dug for them, and they knew there was a Messiah coming. But, you know, it had no effect on her life, did it? She lived a profligate and a wretched life, though she had a religion of some sort. And you see, when the Lord first spoke to her, she imagined something quite superstitious, that this living water this strange man spoke to her of was a natural water. She got some idea if she drank of this water, you see, she wouldn't need to come to the well anymore. But how quickly and perfectly the Lord dealt with her. Notice this. That he said this to her, didn't he? That God is a spirit. I've often pondered that, you know, the singular. There's such a doctrine there. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, that their spirit must be sanctified and embraced and divine instructed by God the Holy Ghost, that we may worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's that Holy Ghost that makes Christ precious, vital, blessed to your soul. You can only worship God as you worship him. But he didn't say God is spirits. God is a spirit, one vast eternal being. The mystery is, as the record shows, and as faith has experienced in the exercise, that vast eternal Jehovah, hallowed be his great name. Eternity subsists in three coequal and coeternal glorious divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a mystery. And this woman, you see, she received instruction as the Lord spoke to her of her sins. Go call thy husband. Oh, I have no husband, rightly said. I perceive thou art a prophet. And then, you see, he spoke to her of the worship, and he pointed out the time now is when they shall not worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him as your heavenly Father sought you, my friend. Have you any real evidence he sought you? Can you trace it out in your life? Well, let us have a look then at this declaration of the woman. Oh, may God Almighty in his grace. I can't do it. Ah, no man can do it. But the Lord will confirm your soul. The Lord will indeed make the word precious and real to you. And indeed, your heart will rejoice and say, I know that he has sought me out. Yes, through his tremendous mercy to me. I believe I belong to that city that is called Sought Out, a city not forsaken. And I believe you'll crown him Lord of all. It's all grace from first to last to your precious, never-dying soul. Ah, And could you agree with me and say yes to the very chief of sinners? So you see how he so instructed her, I am he. There must be, in some measure, a certain revealing of the glorious Godhead of Christ and his sacred humanity. Now, I'm not talking about this in the intellectual, technical way whereby we may accept the doctrine and say, yes, we believe this and we believe that. See, the Holy Spirit, in making him precious, things are done in your soul. You begin to know hope, good hope through grace to be raised up. You begin then to have an expectation from the Lord. Oh, you begin to hope in his mercy and hope indeed he will remember you and fulfill his sweet promise. And as the Holy Spirit by and by makes him more precious, so your soul is truly comforted. He visits Israel. He visits his people. Oh, there must and will be a divine visitation. In the lesson this afternoon that in Matthew, I read, though I hadn't quite realised it was in the same chapter, though of course you look at the chapter beforehand, but I quoted this morning, the Lord will say to many that have been wonderful and marvellous Christians, you know, oh, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. So comes your man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Yes, he knew her then, didn't he? And he had known her from all eternity. And in the appointed hour, in her short span of time, he knew her. As he knew her, so she knew him. She knew him then. Now, my dear friends, this is what we want to trace out. Ah, do you know him who fills his Father's throne? And do you know him at the throne of grace, sowing in tears and reaping in joy? Have you proved over the years, here a little and there a little, this blessed truth, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We sung in our hymn just now of that solemn conflict. You know, dear child of God, those conflicts go on all through your years. I think when we're first favoured in soul, you know, you imagine that as you set sail to that desired haven, you know, that you feel the breeze, the southerly, warm, southerly, balmy breeze of his everlasting love in your soul. You don't see the hurricanes and the icebergs and frontal systems and the battering gales and the lack of wind. Oh, isolated in the ocean and no breath to waft your little ship along, as it were, and will you perish? Will you die of thirst? Your soul thirsts for the living God. You can't move towards heaven. You can't seem to soften your heart. You can't seem to, as it were, make your way toward him. And all surrounded by sore evil and much sore evil within. But as the refrain in the Psalm 107, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he heard them. You prove in waiting upon the Lord, he hears you. You do renew your strength. Well, you see, she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. So you see, in that moment of time as he discovered himself, there was her life, her sins, her earthly sin, and oh, how he gave in her soul living waters, living waters. Well, every experience differs from one person to another in the degree of teaching and in the good pleasure of his will in what he teaches you and how he teaches you. Some may be called to walk through this particular difficulty for years. They pass through a heavy trial in one aspect of affliction's pathway. Another believer, you see, oh, he has to walk a different pathway. Yes, he walks through different affliction, he wades through different troubles. All solemnly realize how lost and ruined and helpless they are. But all look to one blessed place. The work of grace is seen in its blessed uniformity. I think Hart says somewhere, I'm not sure it's Hart, concerning grace, uniform though various. We may perhaps coin that phrase among us tonight. Uniform though various. With regard to the work of grace in the heart, surely. You see, all are led to one place, to one footstool of mercy. All worship the one and true and living God. All feel their woe. Yes, you bear your own iniquity in your own heart. You perceive your own poverty. And you're brought to this place. No man can help you. No one can deliver you. Yes, you have to go alone, alone to God, feeling exposed and wearied and naked and helpless and guilty and poor, yet believing, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, you give him the glory like the centurion. Speak the word only, Lord. Lord, command the blessing. Lord, bring me through. You have to ask in your distresses according to his will. In trial, that's the hardest thing, you know. Been in trials where I felt the Lord's will was against me and really I was to be destroyed and couldn't really continue. Yet have known, well, it's grace. It's not what I taught myself, what the Lord taught me. It's what the Lord teaches you, isn't it? You believe him to be so blessed and so good, and yourself such a poor worm of the earth. You believe that he's faithful that promised. So you begin to say in your heart, now, dear Lord, thou knowest my need. I'm desperate, Lord, but thou art good. Let thy good will be done over me. Let me leave my all with thee and all my matters with one too wise to err, too good to be unkind. And haven't you proved it, friend? He's merciful. He delights in mercy. Recently at home, I attempted to preach on that word. I think I quoted in prayer tonight, Psalm 116, where he says in the opening verses, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Now what's the effect that David tells us? Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Have you noticed that? The deliverance and the blessings you've received, my friends, are being sanctified to you. You're encouraged to call upon him as long as you live. We know the psalmist was a sinner, wasn't he? He wasn't always in that frame, was he? And neither are we. But here he speaks by faith. He knew in whom he believed. I very rarely ever would say much about our love to God. We're very short of that, aren't we, my friend? But if he has ever touched your heart, that is out of his eternal, everlasting, unchangeable love. It is. And you love him because he's heard your prayer. I know it's a poor love. I never hardly mention of the love of a poor man to God and to Christ, though just occasionally I will bring it in. But what we want to know is his love to us and feel no more of it. But I must say, truly, from the pure word of life, God's dear people do love him. And you want him to prepare you to be with him. And when you know his love in reaching your case, visiting your soul, he shows you some of his tender loves, answer your prayers. The doctrine is so precious to you. Oh, you see, when your heart is touched, you, like Thomas, you see, after your doubting frame so long, you say, my Lord and my God. Is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, your Lord and your God? Do you know him by his love to you and his mercies to you? I'm not getting on very fast in this, I'm afraid, but we must try and keep to the word. Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? So you see, the Lord has opens up your heart. You see, all that ever you did, you know you're a ruined, wretched, helpless worm of the earth. But you see, his visiting you draws out exercise and prayer. And as you look back in your life, you know, you didn't always realize some things were the hand of God. I mean, in the life of the patriarchs, Joseph and his brethren, Joseph realized that the hand of the Lord was upon him, but of course it was against him. He went into that terrible trial under covenant promise, you see, from the dream. But if ever there was evidence it could never happen was when he was a slave and then falsely accused and going into prison and putting a good word in for himself and the butler forgetting him, which was the act of God upon him, how far he was. And now we read in the margin, as we read there, they laid him in fetters and he was laid in iron. The margin of that laid in iron was this: the iron came into his soul. Has the Lord been dealing with you in such a way? Iron has come into your soul. Hard, cruel, far from God. Joseph, in many ways, was a most remarkable man. I know it was grace. It was only grace. He ever gave God the glory. But you know, though iron came in, and what he passed through, we can't imagine. Yet in his conflicts, you know, he still hoped in God. You look back in your conflicts, your troubles, who could you turn to? Who did you pour out your heart to when the iron was in your soul? Until the time the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord tried him. But the brethren, you see, in their wickedness, but of course they're in the covenant, sold him, and that was the end of Joseph. And you know, they couldn't see the dealings of God with them in all these things. It was their wickedness. It wasn't God's direct instruction to them to do those wicked things. Yet the Lord ordered such a way they were humble to own. The Lord is chasing us now because of Joseph. And Joseph listened to them. They didn't realize it was Joseph. And Joseph knew then, you see, that now this is the hand of the Lord. Oh, how he must have felt when he was taken out of prison, brought before Pharaoh. He still couldn't see how it unfold, except he must have perceived the wisdom of God in this famine after the plenty. Now the Lord has elevated me to beyond my highest expectation. What a change from a prisoner to the second to the ruler under Pharaoh, the second ruler in the land under Pharaoh. What a change. And I'm sure, you know, as he was there, he often pondered about his father. Now, he must have seen it in other words. It is unfolding somehow. We don't know how, but it will unfold. And then he saw it so clearly. Ah, his brethren bowing down before him. Well, I haven't time to enlarge on that particular holy narrative, full of instruction, but how his soul was tried. And you look back, how the Lord has dealt with you. Oh, you've hoped in his mercy, Answers here, answer. Another trial comes, a heavier trial maybe. Oh, this seems heavier than the previous trial. Ah, all these things that are against me, says poor Jacob. I shall go with soul to the grave in this, Lord. This is the overwhelming trouble. You see, Jacob himself, he was blessed, my friends, as he wrestled with God that night. So blessed in his soul. Wasn't the end of his troubles, was it? Some of you may have known that blessing in your soul. This is not the end of your troubles, is it? Well, perhaps they're yet to come. But my friends, what a mercy. It's better to trace out his tender mercy to you. Yes, in all your troubles hitherto. Can you raise an Ebenezer here tonight? Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Think of your way in providence, ordering your way safely, and yet so many mysterious purposes, and how you're led this way and then you're led that way. And you wonder what is working your life. What will the Lord do? My soul wait only upon God. Afflictions on a bed, and maybe you fear your deathbed. Yet the Lord hears your cries for mercy. Another solemn thing in our fiery trials is our besetting sins. Yes, I know I realise that perhaps not all as quite beset like some are, but you know, it seems though this wicked nature just goes on and on. And you fear one day it'll destroy you. You can only really cry to God's centre. I said to the friend this afternoon at Barrow, you know, there's only one blessed person that can deal in real love and mercy with your besetting sins. Cry to him. Call upon him. Plead with him. Fill your mouth with arguments. You may sit, as I've done sometimes, sat in chapel, utterly ashamed and fearing all the friends must know all about me. Surely they're staring at me. And here I am naked before God. What am I doing here, the chief of hypocrites? Be merciful to me, Lord. Be merciful to me. And sometimes poor ministers climb into a pulpit and they don't know how to. And they have to tell the Lord honestly, Lord, I am worse than these precious souls I am preaching to. Have mercy and do subdue my sins. It's a good prayer, you know. Do thou my sins subdue. Thy sovereign love make known. The spirit of my mind renew and save me in thy Son. Do you have conflicts with your sinnership, your worldly mind, your unbelief? Said at Barrow this afternoon, the Lord really summarised up our sinnership in 3 points. The lusts of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's human nature. Glorying in this and glorying in that. Yes, rebellious we are. But there's a blessed friend. Do you know that friend? Can you say to others, come and see a man that told me all that ever I did. I felt my sins were sinking me to rise no more. And yet I cried to the Lord and he showed me his covenant. He showed me something with his wounded side. Oh, I felt something of the efficacy of his precious sin-atoning blood. I had sweet hope in him. He showed me that he was the Christ and he sealed home to my poor needy soul that I'm his and he is my God. Or as we read in Hosea, I shall say, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. This poor woman, you know, we don't know more about. Scripture wisely hides it all away. We don't know much about these godly people in the Scripture, really. Just one or two we know more of, like David. But these characters, they appear, you see, and there we see the Lord's work. We believe they all live by faith in their remaining days. And they all died in faith also. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Yes. Oh, how he made himself precious to you in all his dealings with you. Dear friend, if you had this work of grace, you acknowledge the Son, don't you? You say, he that acknowledgeth the Son acknowledgeth the Father also. The apostle tells us, do you acknowledge the Son of God? Oh, is he to you the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, your everlasting light? Do you hope in his mercy? Ah, do you find it good to draw near to God? Oh, do you know what it is indeed to rejoice in God, your salvation? You know, my dear friends, I believe you can testify this, you see, that he's your high priest. Oh, he alone has those garments for glory and beauty. He alone has interceded for you. Yes, you've had to go to him in weakness and nakedness and helplessness and distress of soul. And you've had to sow in tears and wait upon God's great high priest, asking for his mercy, asking according to his goodwill, he might be merciful to you. Yes, and he's heard your prayers. And you now have to commit all your way to him, to God's great high priest. And you believe this also. I come back to this morning's word, and every eye shall see him. Do you see him as that, by the eye of faith, that king in Jerusalem? Yes, a king in Zion, you know. That lovely Mount Zion. You know, the ministers of the gospel, the apostles, were told to go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I know there's a parable against the Jews there. The Gentiles will be gathered in. Yes, and are you one of those Gentiles gathered in by grace? Oh, the Lord opened your heart and you sought, oh, the favour of that everlasting King. You wanted his rule and his laws to be written in your heart. You wanted his mighty power, wanted to be a subject of his. Wanted to belong to his people and have a place in his kingdom. And you sought him in all his eternal glorious power. In your drawing near. Oh, have you seen a little by faith of his glorious Godhead as king over Israel? Oh, he's the king of the Jews. As Pilate, though of course an ungodly man, he mocked the Jews and said, behold your king. Now, we have no king but Caesar. Though he was mocking them, yet what a profound truth, those poor Jews, those lost Jews. But is he your blessed King? Have you prayed to your King in Zion and asked him for all his power and love and mercy and grace? Have you known him, and do you know him as your resurrection and your life? You and I have faith here, and every eye shall see him. Oh, has he scattered his light in your heart? Oh, my dear friends, have you seen a glorious light in him? You know, when evangelist directed Pilgrim, Bunyan's character, Christian, you know, he'd see that yonder shining light. He didn't know really what to do, which way to go. He said, I think I do. And have you, you remember when you first began to see a glimmer of hope in him, how you proved he's the light of your soul. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, may we be followed. Do you want to follow that King? In all his holy ways, in all his divine word, in all his holy commands? Do you desire to reverence and honour your King? He's a worthy prince, and hallowed be his name, and worthy be his name to be crowned for ever and ever and ever. The Lord's ever touched your heart, you know. You know the first notes of that everlasting praise, don't you? Unto him. We read it this morning, didn't we? Perhaps we'll turn to it so we can quote it, you see. we read there, he says, unto him that loved us and washed us from all... unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, that made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Has the Lord made you king kings and priests. You say, whatever does that mean? It means this, you see, that you have set up in your heart that one day you'll be with him and reign with him in his throne. And he made you a priest, that is, an approacher and a worshipper, a priest to offer praise. Yes, and what sacrifice do you bring in your worship? His great sacrifice of sin, and you worship him for it, and bless him, yes, of Lord of heaven and earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We read elsewhere in Revelation, be honour and power and glory and dominion for ever and ever. Ah, oh, my dear friend, I see time draws to close. I'd like to go on, really. Well, can you say, come, see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is he not my heavenly friend? The one who has befriended me forever. Remember this, he's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know, my friends, that our heart wanders. But I tell you a secret, you hate your wanderings. And the older you get and the more you journey on, you hate yourself more. Because the Lord is so good to you. It doesn't make you love yourself, his goodness. It makes you hate yourself more and more and more. His goodness to such a worm of the earth. As Gatsby says, what a base, ungrateful monsters we have been. In one of his New Year hymns, you know. Ah, but if we confess our sins, oh, to God's great high priest, his faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ah, and can you trace out his goodness in providence? In your providence, parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him, you see. In the hymn 64, he speaks of, yes, that first and second birth. Your first birth ordained. You didn't know yourself then, did you, you see? As you came out of your mother's womb, you have no recollection of it at all. Of course, that's wisely hidden. Here we're in infancy of sweet limitation, you see, having to grow up and expand in mind and body. And yet, looked after and loved as you were born with an everlasting love. Conceived in sin, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But can you trace it out? Loved with an everlasting love as a helpless babe in your mother's arms and upon your mother's breast. His eye was upon you from all eternity. You grew up and you went forth from speaking lies, a child of wrath. And you never sought his name until he sought you. Do you give him the glory? He sought you. Jesus sought me when a stranger. You might have gone to chapel all your life, but you now know you were a stranger from him. Jesus sought me. Jesus sought me as a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Can you trace it out? And he began to bring you into a concern. It might have been very deep at the beginning, but you were concerned. Late dear friend died at Staples, dear old Percy Hope, you know. The Lord began with him in providence, you see. Something about that man that we don't hear much of today. Though the Lord began with him in his providence, the work of grace, and he had a providential, he needed much help in his life, he knew the Lord Jesus as his great high priest, his redeemer from all his sins. He knew he was washed from all his sins and he was clothed in righteousness. I'm not here to preach about another man's life, but though he needed the Lord in his providence, but he had a secret. A secret engraved. He knew Jesus was his salvation. And he knew the merit of Jesus to be very precious to him. And he knew he was the chief of sinners too. You see, and can you trace it out? Maybe in very gentle, maybe in providential matters, the Lord has led you on, you see. Other case among us may have been very sudden. Oh, you came into great distress. Maybe the Lord, as it were, suddenly, solemnly reproved you for your sins one night. God is a sovereign in his dealings. But I want to come to this. Have you been led, and are you still being led, to the footstool of mercy? You know, child of God, and some of you have been in the way a good number of years now, you're still led to the footstool of mercy. There's only one place for you here this night. There's only one place for our life, my friend, and for a dying day. That is the throne of grace, that mercy seat. Maybe you'll be often there. Well, I see it's nearly 8 o'clock, so I really must close. But I don't feel I've really preached properly from this word. The Lord knows. Well, what a kind and gracious God the Lord is to some of us poor sinners here tonight. Oh, nothing but love shall I receive, says Seneca, and nothing but sin I thee can give. What a blessed exchange that is. What a solemn exchange. You have to keep going as the same poor, needy sinner. And in his rich grace to your soul, he still helps you. He still blesses you. He still loves you. He still brings you safely through your days. And that's your pathway. Closing hymn this morning, you see, a poor sinner leaning upon Emmanuel. Well, may we raise an Ebenezer, as the poet says. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Oh, may we be helped truly to say to our dear brethren in Christ, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll tell you what he's done for my soul. And I'll tell you something in your heart. You long that he should have all the glory. In those early days, you know, oh, and it's still good at times now. You know, you can't always speak about the Lord's mercies. You feel shut up yourself, you see. Other times, you're not always, the company is always conducive for it. And other times, you don't know whether the person, the Christian man you're with, will really understand. But with the Lord's dear people, you know those you know and love, you know it's a sweet pleasure in it to trace out the Lord's mercies. From those early days, oh, it was a sacred pleasure. And though, of course, it got me into trouble sometimes, yet I had to give him all the glory. May we give him all the glory for all his goodness and mercy to us. And may we help to say, like the psalmist, surely, well, he's my shepherd. Oh, I shall not want any good thing while I live here. For he's my shepherd, the shepherd of Israel, and I'm one of his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, may we be able to love the Lord, because he hath heard my prayer, inclined his ear unto me. Yes, and may we therefore call upon him while we live. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Bless thy own word of grace, Lord. Oh, may something remain to do us good. We need thee, precious Jesus. We're poor, needy sinners. But we know that that Blessed One sent from heaven confirm our souls. May the Word do us good both morning and evening. Follow us home. May we know thee as our salvation. May we be among those who follow thee while we live here below, and follow thee through death and into glory, Lord. So pardon all that's been spoken wrongly here this day. And now do grant us safe journeys, each one of us home, and grant that as we hope to retire later, fare us each with sleep and a good night's rest, we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Woodhouse will preach on Friday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Next Lord's Day, there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Woodhouse is again expected to preach in the evening, as Mr. Broom will not be able to come because of his continuing illness. Let us close with hymn 889. Say, is thy heart well broke, and feels the plague of sin, and hateth Satan's yoke it sweetly once drew in? Give Christ the praise, he broke thy heart, and taught thee how to feel the smart. Hymn 889.
Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.